From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up at the same time that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has been dispatched by President Trump to Saudi Arabia and Turkey to look into the alleged murder of a Washington Post reporter, Jamal Khashoggi. Others, like Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, are calling for the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, to step down. Could these events further destabilize the Middle East? Congressman Ted Poe, a member of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, joins me in just a moment. And have Americans have they had enough of political correctness? An interesting report entitled Hidden Tribes, a Study of America's Polarized Landscape, gives some insight. And I want to know what you think. And we'll also get an update from Florida, from the Panhandle, in the aftermath of Hurricane Michael, from former Congressman Steve Sutherland. He's leading relief efforts in his hometown of Lynn Haven. We're going to talk with him a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Let me remind you to take the pledge to pray, to vote, and to stand, to pray for our nation, to vote your biblical values, and to stand for those transcendent truths upon which our nation was built. Go to the website, PrayVoteStand.com, and take the pledge. All right, Turkish officials say police who searched the Saudi consulate in Istanbul said they found new evidence that the Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi was killed there. Now, senior officials inside the State and Treasury Departments are actively discussing plans to exact financial punishment on Saudi Arabia, while others are actually calling for the Crown Prince to step down. With us now is Congressman Ted Poe. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Texas. He serves on the House Committee on the Judiciary and on the Foreign Affairs Committee. Congressman Poe, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. It's always great to talk to you.
Well, I know you're back in Texas, and that's a good place to be. But the eyes right now are on Saudi Arabia and what's unfolding there. What's your take on the situation?
Well, it's obvious that malfeasance took place there in the consulate office, and now it's the Crown Prince, I think, is trying to distance himself from what appears to be a murder of the Washington Post reporter. Interesting enough, the same day that the reporter went to the consulate, 15 individuals, a squad, let's use that word, left Saudi Arabia and showed up the same day and left the same day. And one of those individuals happened to be carrying equipment for the dismembering of someone. So that's pretty obvious. One of them was a doctor who specialized in autopsies. All of them showing up the same day as the Washington Post report. First of all, we get the information from the Turks. Now, there's no love lost between the Turkish government and the Saudi Arabian government. They don't care for each other at all. So we've got to be skeptical a little bit about what the Turks say on this. But they're going after the Saudis because they can look bad. What we have done, the Foreign Affairs Committee in the Senate has sent a letter to the president. I've sent a similar letter to the president asking that the president invoke the Global Magnitsky Act, named after a Russian who disappeared under similar circumstances. Now, what is that? It's the Global Magnitsky Human Rights Accountability Act. Basically says that after getting the letter, the president has 120 days to determine whether or not there was a human rights violation, and then if there was, impose appropriate sanctions on the individuals responsible. So that act and that request to the president is run, and the president is complying with that law by sending the Secretary of State over to investigate what we believe happened. So that's the timeline, and I think that there will be some people who will be held accountable. Sanctions, what are those? What can they do? Well, we can sanction people for preventing travel to the United States, but more importantly, go after their money and sanction their bank accounts. And that's what I think is going to happen. The prince, the Saudi prince, is going to try to not claim any culpability of this, but we don't know if that's going to happen or not. One last thing, as far as the comments to remove the Saudi prince from his office in Saudi Arabia, that is not going to happen. We cannot be in the position of trying to remove a foreign leader from their country. Remember, Saudi Arabia is not a democracy. It's a totalitarian state, Islamic state. It's run by a king, and it's a kingdom. So as far as having him removed, and that should be our position, I don't think it should be our position. We should go after the individuals that are involved, sanction them, and even criminal responsibility if necessary.
You mentioned the Magnitsky Act. That was actually what was used for Turkey to sanction the officials in Turkey in the Brunson case, where the president sanctioned those individuals involved in his arrest and detention. So now it's Israel, with this happening in Istanbul, that Saudi Arabia now could be subject to these provisions. Those are relatively new. That's something that Congress passed just not too many years ago, allowing the president to have that type of flexibility to target individuals who are violating human rights.
That's correct. 2016 was the reauthorization with some more teeth in it. The original bill was 2012, I believe. So it is a new law. It's a good law.
Now, let me ask you this, Congressman Ted Poe. When we look at this, I mean, obviously now with I shouldn't say obvious, but I think with the president's comments, relations are warming a little bit with Turkey after the release of Andrew Brunson. And this, you know, I don't know. I mean, we don't know formally, but I clearly I think maybe this could have factored into Turkey's move to release Pastor Brunson, along with the pressures of the sanction and the tariffs, because I think they were going to need the United States to kind of back them on this, most likely. But what could this do to the Middle East? I mean, Saudi Arabia is not, as you said, it's not a democracy. It's also a place that abuses human rights, and particularly religious freedom. There is none in Saudi Arabia. But they've been the State Department has repeatedly kind of made exceptions for some things they do because they consider them a strategic ally. What might come of this? How could this reshuffle the Middle East?
Well, you have presented the dilemma that the United States has been in ever since we have coddled up to the Saudi Arabians. We take, you know, we buy their oil, and we use them as a military partner. They buy a lot of military hardware, pay cash for it from the United States. Same time, as you mentioned, their human rights violations are horrible. Recently, the king made some comments and said that women can start driving, and they started driving, and then he arrested all the protesters and the leaders of that movement, put them in jail. So they have a bad record of human rights violations, especially against women and especially against Christians. I do not see how this is going to play out. I don't know what the president or Pompeo are going to do about this issue. I am not one who thinks that we should continue to sell arms to the Saudis in the name of a violation of human rights that take place in their country. But we do. We sell it to them and some other countries, including Pakistan, which is another issue. So I don't know what's going to happen, but there is going to be some tension between our two nations until this issue is resolved and what the lay of the land is going to be for future activity on the part of the Saudis in their violation of human rights in their own country.
Hey, Congressman, there's so many dynamics to this. Now, one that puts America kind of in a greater leverage than we have in the past is that we are now producing a lot of oil. We're exporting oil, so we're not as dependent upon the energy coming from the Middle East as we were at one time. However, Saudi has been a kind of a partner in opposing Iran. But then there's so many problems with the Wahhabism and the Islam, the radical teachings that are being pumped out of Saudi Arabia into mosque, even into the United States. So it's this dilemma of, good and bad, pro and con. But I'm just wondering if this could just – this blatant act, if – again, it's alleged at this point. But, I mean, could this be a tipping point?
It could be. And you have pointed out several things that are problems in Saudi Arabia, this Wahhabi teaching. And the textbooks, they have been promising for years, and I meet with the Saudi ambassador on a regular basis, that we're going to change our textbooks. And their textbooks teach hate against Christians. And those textbooks are used in other countries. ISIS even copied those textbooks. We understand about the mosques that are teaching radical Islamic philosophy of radicalizing people. And this is all coming from Saudi Arabia. And then on the other hand, they want to be a strategic partner. Iran is the menace in the Middle East. Iran and Saudi Arabia are both contending for being the big dog in the valley. And there is, there's a proxy war going on in Yemen between those two nations. We've obviously taken the side of Saudi Arabia. We don't have anything to do with Iran. And so you have these complexities. But there's got to come to a point where the United States says, look, we stand for some certain values, and you've got to accept those international human rights values. And this issue about the oil, that is exactly correct. The United States now is an exporter of oil. We export it all down here in Texas, all over the world. We use all we can, sell the rest. That is a problem with Saudi Arabia because we don't have to depend on them as much to get the oil. So I hope the United States puts all these factors in two columns, the good and the bad, and then we draw a line and we figure out what's the best thing to do in our national interest, the best thing to do for human rights, religious freedom, which is getting hammered all over the world by against Christians, as you have pointed out repeatedly, and then we make the best decision for what's the right thing to do. And we cannot be, we can't be just saying, well, we've got to get the Saudi Arabians oil. No, we don't have to get their oil, and we don't have to sell them weapons unless they change their way.
Congressman, we're up against a break, but I don't normally do this because I've had you on for a long time, but can you hold on? Because I want to ask you one more question. Could this be an opportunity for reform? Could we pressure them to do some reforms? If you don't mind, if you'll stick around, I want to ask you that one question.
Sure.
On the other side of the break. Can you do it? All right.
Absolutely.
Congressman Ted Poe stays with us. In time of challenge is also time of opportunity. And could we kind of expedite the reforms there? I don't know. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. And then I want to discuss political correctness. Have Americans had enough of it? And we're going to get an update from the Florida Panhandle. Former Congressman Steve Sutherland joins us with that. So don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. And by the way, if you haven't already downloaded the app, the Stand Firm app, keeps you informed of what's happening, do that. Go to the App Store, Stand Firm app. All right, Congressman Ted Poe agreed to hang over there for me into this segment because I want one final question. As we talk about Saudi Arabia, what happened in Istanbul and the possible murder of a Washington Post reporter. As you make those columns, I mean, I would just say from the negative column exceeds the positive column. And there's so many reforms that need to take place. And I know that they're moving to make some reforms. You said that the women are allowed to drive now. That's, you know, doesn't sound like much, but it is movement. But they're at the top of the list when it comes to religious persecution. I mean, they do not tolerate any type of freedom of worship in that country. And we have continued to make exception. We're no longer dependent upon their oil. Is this an opportunity? Given that, I mean, they could be cut off from the Western world in many ways because of this horrendous act, if it's true. Is this an opportunity to bring them to the table to bring about or expedite reforms in their country?
Oh, absolutely it is. The Saudis keep promising human rights changes in their country, but they don't. Let's go to the textbook issue we talked about. They've been promising to change their textbooks for 10 years. They have not done it. This is a place where we can draw the line in the sand and say, yes, you change your textbooks that preach hate, that are used in other parts of the world and want to hate Christians and Jews, and you have to do it. You have to do it this year, now. And so I think there are things like that we could do to stop human rights violations.
That's low-hanging fruit. I think you're absolutely right. In fact, I reviewed a report that the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom actually got yesterday that we looked at. They've been promising those. They're not making the changes, as they have said. And other countries are complaining because it's inciting this radical Islamic behavior in other countries that really they don't want it. And so the Saudis are fueling it with those textbooks.
Absolutely. And what we do is say, you change the textbooks, or we're not buying your oil. And we draw the line in the sand and say that. That's one place where we could start, and they ought to start. And there are others in that column that we talked about, it of the things that are bad. But I think we have to really be serious and quit saying, allowing them to say, we'll get around to it. And because their word is worthless.
All right, we're going to keep watching this and see how, as this unfolds, how that opportunity might be seized. Congressman Ted Poe, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Congressman Ted Poe of Texas, 2nd Congressional District. All right, political correctness. Has America reached a tipping point where they said enough is enough? Well, an interesting survey that has just come out suggests that that may be the case. Michael Knowles, a columnist with the Daily Wire, has written about this in a very insightful way and showing how America really, maybe they finally have got it, just enough of the political correctness. Michael, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me.
So I was interested in your commentary on this report that our survey, I guess I should say, Hidden Tribes, a Study of America's Polarized Landscape. Are Americans finally at a point where they say enough is enough?
It seems that we've reached a tipping point, and it seems that the opposition to PC has accelerated in just the last 2 years, thanks probably to our very unpolitically correct president. Beginning in the 1990s, you already had 53-54% opposition to political correctness. By 2016, surveys were putting that number somewhere around 73%. Now it looks like it's around 80%. People have had it. I think the reason for this, I think what finally broke the camel's back is the transgender ideology, is the ideology that a man is not really a man or can become a woman and vice versa. Because it's one thing to make a guy say, I don't know, happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. You know, it's frivolous, it's a little silly, but whatever. When you tell that guy that he has to allow other men to follow his daughter into the changing room at the local pool because there's no such thing as biological sex, that is a bridge too far. You know, I think it forces people to have to choose between their own lying eyes and the cult and the ideology of political correctness. I think people have had enough. You know, all of the euphemisms is one thing, but sex is so essential to human identity and sexual difference. I think it's finally pushed people over the edge. And now we have a president and a Republican Party that isn't going to kowtow to that ideological vocabulary anymore. I think it's a breath of fresh air. And I think the more that we use blunt, honest language, the better conservatives will do politically.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Michael, because you say that it seems to have intensified, and primarily it's because the president's not kowtowing to it. He's not ignoring it. And so some are tempted maybe to back off, but it could be that the way that we actually bring about equilibrium and balance again and sanity is by continuing to stand up to the nonsense.
That's absolutely right. The left manipulates politics primarily through language. The old patron saint of Hollywood conservatives, Andrew Breitbart, was fond of saying politics is downstream of culture. We know that culture and cult are related. We know that it comes from the language that we use, what we worship, what we look toward. And so all of these insidious euphemisms that political correctness has foisted upon us, it gives Democrats an unfair advantage, gives the left an unfair advantage. Who would ever oppose a dreamer? But of course, who wouldn't oppose an illegal alien who's in violation of our laws, who's violating our national sovereignty? And I think when President Trump, I remember in 2016, he was asked by a reporter to stop using the word anchor baby because it's offensive. And he said, what would you like me to use? And they said, I don't know, dreaming, future, American, whatever nonsense. And he said, yeah, I think I'll stick with anchor baby. I think that's the right strategy. People want honest language, and it shows that there's a choice, that someone is fighting for them.
Yeah, and I think that's why people have, who don't necessarily agree with everything the president says, have lined up with him because they're sick and tired of the political correctness. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. A fascinating piece. I'm going to encourage people to read it.
Tony, thanks for having me.
All right, Michael Knowles. Find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. 80% of Americans say enough. Enough already. All right, when we come back, we're going to go back down to the Florida Panhandle. Former Congressman Steve Sutherland in his hometown of Lynn Haven is leading up relief efforts. We're going to check in with him. Don't go away. More to come.
feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. The extent of the devastation in the Florida panhandle is almost beyond description. And folks there are, just the basics, trying to get the food, shelter, and it is so significant. As we talked about yesterday, as we had a clip from the president down there and we were talking with Samaritan's Purse, it's beyond what any one entity can do. And joining us from Lynn Haven, Florida, former Congressman Steve Sutherland represented the 2nd District there on the panhandle. And he's spearheading efforts there as literally almost their entire town has been wiped out. Steve, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you so much for allowing me to visit with you for a few minutes. Thank you for what you're doing and helping to get the message of need out.
Well, I know we spoke this morning, and we're already lining up relief to come down, some folks to just provide some of the basics. But give our listeners a sense of what it looks like there on the ground.
Tony, the only thing I can really liken this to is when I was a child, I was studying history books, and I would see, the mass destruction of an atomic bomb. We had winds clocked down here, gusts at over 200 miles an hour. We had sustained winds of 175 miles an hour, and that went on for 2 hours. Both the eastern eye wall of the storm and the western eye wall of the storm were directly over Bay County. At the same time. And inside of Bay County, there's about 9 municipalities that operate inside the county. And so you can imagine the challenge they're facing now of trying to restore order and restore services to their their citizens in the 9 counties, and the county trying to do the same thing for their citizens in the unincorporated area. So massive devastation. And if people have ever been here, this is a community that is old Florida. We have massive 200-year oak trees, massive 100-year pine trees. So those things fall on a house, they just destroy them. And so that's what we're up against as far as cleaning. And now we're just trying to feed our people because we have no power. We have no water. Our cell service has totally been destroyed and knocked out. So we have no way of communicating. So you can imagine rolling all that up into one incident and how now the, you know, the feeling of desperation. We're trying to get to as many people with hope and with the bare essentials as we can get to. And it's a challenge, but I can tell you God is moving and God's people are responding. And it's humbling to watch.
It is. I've been there before. I've seen that happen, and it is as we were talking yesterday. It's you feel isolated, and there's a sense of a strong sense of anxiety and panic in some cases. It's a situation, Steve, where as you and I were talking about earlier today, when we were kind of assessing the situation, everybody is affected there, and so this is one of those times when people who can come from the outside to help is essential because everybody there is in such a position they can't help anyone else because they're trying to help themselves. So this is where volunteers and outside groups who are prepared and understand what they're doing can be of great value.
It really, really is, and you're hitting on, you know, the greatest need because you have information, Tony, about what's going on here in the other part of the county that I don't have because your news reports and messages that the other municipalities are pumping out. I have no access to news. I have no access to communication methods, and so therefore I'm living in a bubble here, and so I can all I know is what I'm seeing. And so it is it's quite helpless, having lived a busy life and now knowing that we are left to face to face communication, and now we've got some more rain coming. So we're working hard. As I was walking over to the chair to sit down, I'm sitting in the parking lot over here in the shade, cause it's been a hot day. A lady came up to me. She was crying. She bumped into a elderly woman in the grocery store who had trees all over her house. She's got holes all over her roof. Elderly woman living by herself, begging for tarps and begging for someone to put those tarps on her roof. And I don't know if I can get to her. I don't have the hands. And we need the hands, the feet, and the heart.
I understand. No, I understand completely.
We God's people, and because little ladies like Judy Gross right now, who you're probably closer to her from Washington D.C. than I am, 5 miles away.
Well, Steve, I know we've got a couple of teams from Louisiana headed your way, and we're going to continue to not only encourage people to pray, but for those that are prepared to head down in an organized fashion to be helpful to our fellow citizens there in Florida. So, Steve, you're in our prayers, but we're going to do more than pray. We're gonna work to help you out as well. So, tell folks that help is on the way.
Tony, God bless you. Thank you for all you're doing and all your listening audience. God bless them. It's time to act, and we certainly appreciate in advance what they're going to do.
All right, Steve Sutherland. Folks, we're going to talk more about that on the other side of this break. This is where you need to support those ministries that are out there working on the front lines to help our fellow Americans. More Washington Watch after this.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. The pledge. Take the pledge to pray, vote, and stand. Go to PrayVoteStand.com. Also, mark your calendar for November the 4th, Sunday night, November the 4th, for the event. Governor Mike Huckabee will be joining me, along with several others, for a Sunday night 90-minute event focused on what's happening on November the 6th and why it's important. So mark your calendar. You can be a part of that. Churches are hosting it. You can actually, if you're in Colorado, you can join us. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more or go to the event. Okay. I'm going to go to the phone lines here in a moment. We're going to be talking about political correctness, but I want to go back for just a moment with my conversation with Steve Sutherland. And for those that have been through natural disasters, you're a little more – well, let's say it's easier to empathize, and I've been through this so many times now, and that's why I actually take time on this radio program to talk to people who are in these regions, because look, there is a sense of isolation and desperation, and folks really need help, and so I want to encourage you, number one, to pray. We still got folks in North Carolina, South Carolina picking up the pieces. You still got people in Houston from last year picking up the pieces. You still got people in Louisiana from 2 years ago picking up the pieces. And that's just the hurricanes and the floods. I mean, you got the fires out in California. So it's just these things are real. And, you know, the scripture tells us that they're going to become more intense and more frequent. And they are. And, of course, when they hit more densely populated places, and, you know, in part, more people are building houses right on the water, and you know, so the destruction is more intense when it happens. And of course, this was a huge storm. But each of us can do something, okay? So I want to encourage you. Now, we're not – Family Research Council, we're not a relief organization, all right? So we're not – we don't do that. But we do partner with others. And one, we're partnering with the Southern – we're partnering with the Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham. They do great work, and I encourage you to go to SamaritansPurse.org. You can volunteer. You can make a financial contribution. Maybe you can go. Maybe your church has cook teams. Maybe you have relief teams. that can work. Steve is actually coordinating there in his hometown of Lynn Haven, and I've connected a couple of cooking teams to go down there at least for a couple of a week or so, just to until the government can come in and the other relief agencies. But the need is so overwhelming. And so anyway, be praying and participate however you can. Support those organizations that are a part of it. Now, I'll just say this. Support faith-based organizations. And Steve and I talked about that this morning. He was right. It's the reason he called, because he knows I've been doing these kind of things on the side, is that this is an opportunity to help meet a need, a real need, an urgent need, but also to share the gospel. It is in times like this that people are brought to a sense of really just the basics of life. All of the distractions are taken away, and you contemplate more deeply what the meaning of life is. And so at these points, it's not only sharing food and clothing and shelter, but it's also sharing hope, and that hope that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you, if you support relief organizations, support Christian organizations. Don't give your money to the Red Cross. Not only do I think they're not efficient, but in many ways, in my experiences, I've found them hostile to faith-based organizations. So give to those organizations through your church. Like I said, I cannot say enough about Samaritan's Purse. And there's others. There's others out there. I've just worked with them and know them. But anyway, do something. You can do something to help the folks. And if you want to know more, if you want to know, email me, tony@tonyperkins.com. Maybe you've got some resources that you can send. We've got cooking teams going down and supplies. Maybe you can help with that. So anyway, email me, tony@tonyperkins.com. All right, I'm going to get to this topic of political correctness. In this study that was done, this survey, a full 80% believe that political correctness is a problem in our country. And I'm reading from it. It says, even young people are uncomfortable with it, including 74% of ages 24 to 29 and 79% under 24. On this particular issue, is shows a clear minority across all ages. Whites are ever so slightly less likely than the average to believe that political correctness is a problem in the country. Did you hear that? Whites are ever so slightly less likely than average to believe that political correctness is a problem in the country. It's not the minority populations that are advancing political correctness. In fact, 79% of – well, 82% of Asians say it's a problem. 87% of Hispanics say political correctness is a problem. American Indians, 88% say it's a problem. They're less – they are the ones that are most likely to oppose political correctness. What – who is for political correctness? It is wealthy white people. That's who advances political correctness. It's the total opposite of what we hear. So the question for you is, has political correctness reached a point that it's time to just push back like the president is saying, no more? It's destroying our country. 866-372-7234. Have you reached the point that you've had enough of the political correctness? As we were discussing, you know, words have meaning. And changing the meaning of words to be more politically correct, you know, I guess the Michael was using the illustration of the transgenderism and how, you know, it's so clear, male, female. And we want to say, no, that's not the not the case. That's maybe that is the straw that has that broke the camel's back. people to say, you know what, enough is enough. But there's more. Like, for instance, you know, he talked about the euphemisms like the dreamer for illegal alien. And, of course, you have juvenile delinquent is no longer a politically correct term. Instead, it's justice-involved youth. Where does this stop? The reality is it won't unless we say enough is enough. And I think this is part of and Michael mentioned this about the president. I think this is why the left is so intense in their opposition to the president. And it was interesting. You know, I was in an interview yesterday. I don't remember which one it was. And people said, you know, is America a divided nation? How do we unify America? Are we more divided? And it's because, you know, the president is pushing these policies. Does he need to back up or back off? You know, the reason America is divided is because the left is not accustomed to conservatives standing up. They're accustomed to Republicans, I should say Republicans, not necessarily conservatives, from just capitulating, from folding, from not wanting to create a stir or a conflict, and so they just surrender. They run up a white flag. And finally, there's a president who refuses to wave a white flag. I don't think he has one. And he's certainly not going to wave it if he did. And so the left is pitching and screaming. I mean, they're howling. They're clawing at the door of the Supreme Court. I mean, they're manifesting all types of behaviors because they're just not accustomed to people pushing back against them. So should we say, well, you know, to keep the peace, let's just you know, let's just kind of give in. Let's not push it. Why would we do that? To try to keep a false peace? In fact, that's not really a peace. That's a capitulation. That would be a surrendering of our rights, a surrendering of truth. I mean, this whole transgenderism is a prime example of that, as Michael was talking about. I mean, biology is very clear. Science is very clear, male, female. But in order to keep the peace, we'll just play along. We'll play their game. Well, we've seen how that works out. It doesn't. We lose more and more and more and more ground until we are at a point of just complete insanity. So I think we respectfully, in love, we speak the truth. We stand up and we don't back down. And I think, again, that is what this president has done. He's refused to be throttled back and muzzled by political correctness. And I think each of us need to continue to stand for and speak truth, speak it in love, but speak the truth nonetheless. And I'll tell you what I think, and I've talked about this before, but I think the greatest crisis, the greatest need in America is courage. I think that's the greatest thing. The greatest thing that we need is people to show courage at every level, and not just in our leaders in Washington, D.C., but in the business world, education, wherever we are, I think we need to be resolute, need to be compassionate, kind, but unyielding when it comes to truth. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines. Let's go to David in Oklahoma. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. You know, I'm hearing you talking about, you know, getting a little bit more out there and so forth, and I believe in what you're saying. I've stood on Tulsa Street Corners and and encourage Republicans or conservatives, is actually how I put it, to vote, to be sure and vote and so forth. So I'm not shy, so to speak, and yet sometimes I do struggle with wondering what's proper, and I don't even like the term, what would Jesus do, or I never even follow that, but at the same time, I try to think of biblical little examples of being sort of, out there and more forthright and so forth, and I want to make sure that I'm doing it according to what Jesus would. You know, I picture, you know, him being in the temple and being upset with what was going on and causing, a righteous stir. But sometimes I still wonder if the things I do are you know, I always wonder if it's correct or right or something he would want me to do. Just wanted to.
Yeah, David, good question. I think that's healthy to ask that question. Is what does it look like? Is it appropriate? What would be the? In fact, David, that's what we would actually call a biblical worldview. Is what does Scripture say to this? What's the example that we would follow? You know, I'm not advocating that we, like the left, go out and get in people's face, that we interrupt their dinners, that we confront them at the gas station, at the grocery store. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, I think that's plain wrong. What I'm saying is we should not hide our faith. We should not hide the truth. When our children are subjected to restrooms in which they have no privacy and they're at risk, we shouldn't be quiet about it because we're afraid that someone will say we're politically incorrect. When the stuff that our children are taught in the textbooks we know is wrong, not only from a science standpoint, blatantly wrong, but morally wrong, we shouldn't be silent about it. We should respectfully but resolutely speak up. So it's not that we're looking for a confrontation. And I think I've said this before, but when I was a kid, my dad used to tell me, don't you ever start a fight. If you do, I'm going to wear you out when you get home. But he said, if you run from a fight, I will wear you out when you get home. And so I think, you know, it's not starting anything. We should not start anything. But we should not run from a confrontation over truth. We should stand firm for that truth. David, thanks for the call. All right, folks, out of time. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do and you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.